Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question at that time, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I'd now like to turn the call over to Mr. Jarrett Potts. Sir, you may begin.
Hello, everyone. This is Jarrett Potts, your local sales enablement guy. Today we're going to talk about Tivoli Storage Manager version 6.2, which is brand new. It has the EGA on this product. The general availability will be around March 19th of next month. This is the first in a series of education that we'll be providing both technical and sales. There will be a lot of sessions on the TVSA or the Tivoli Virtual Sales Academy, or otherwise known as distance learning. There will also be some other calls and some hands-on training as well. Please note that this product is now, it has not been officially released yet. It is actually still in its beta form at the moment, so it's going through beta testing. So please note that if you discuss with and show this presentation to a customer, they need to be under a non-disclosure agreement. With that, let's go ahead and get started. Again, this is Tivoli Storage Manager 6.2, what's new. With that, let's go ahead and move on to slide 2 of the presentation, which is our wonderful disclaimer that talks about how this is future enhancements, and at any time we can change the future of the product without first telling the customer. Anyway, so going ahead and moving on to slide 3. First thing that we've done here is uplift the console, the administrative center, so that now Fastback and TSM are integrated as far as their policy management is concerned. So you can now create a policy for Fastback clients and servers, what's backup, when, you know, how long to retain it, that kind of stuff. It just allows, of course, the single pane of glass, that one graphical user interface, to go forth and do both TSM clients and, of course, the Fastback side of the house as well. So centralized, that centralized location, it seems to be very important for a lot of customers, so we're providing that. And of course, not only does this go to the Fastback client and server, but it also goes to Fastback for workstations, which we'll talk about here in just a second. This does include long-term data retention. So this is, again, allowing us to extend the reach of the Tivoli Storage Management portfolio and those policies that are so robust all the way down into Fastback, which we've been able to do in the past. However, now you'll be able to do it all from the one user interface. Moving on to slide 4, the Admin Center also allows recovery management integration. It basically allows you to configure from the TSM Admin Center, configure TSM and Fastback, you know, how long to retain the data, right? Creating a schedule to back up the Fastback repository, schedules for snapshots, that type of information. Also, it just allows the TSM to be doing a proxy backup using Fastback mount of those DR servers that you've got out there in the Fastback environment. With that, we're going to move on to slide 5. Basically, what we've been talking about for the last two slides is tighter integration from the Admin Center, otherwise known as ISC, from both the Fastback environment and the TSM environment, also the CDP environment, now known as Fastback for Workstations. So from the Admin Center, you can now go out and configure Fastback Manager information. You can go out and, query all the Fastback servers. You can sign on to a Fastback server from the integrated console without having to use the username and password once it's configured into the ISC. It stores the user ID and password, so you won't have to re-sign in going from TSM ISC to Fastback ISC, for example, you won't have to re-sign in. It just manages your user IDs and passwords for you. And then, of course, when you log into Fastback, the Fastback screen will come up and it look almost exactly like it did before. So it's basically launching the Fastback application inside of ISC. So it's basically launching the application. Now, what it will not do is allow you to launch in context, which basically means you can't go in and bookmark a specific spot inside of the Fastback server, launching, say, a specific client with a specific schedule. You'll have to log into the server and then drill down into the client and the information that you want. That is coming in the next PTF that is coming up. So again, moving on to slide 6, what this does provide in the case of, say, Fastback for workstations is to be able to administer, you know, thousands and thousands of CDP clients, for example. So I can go out there and combine the Fastback, the TSM, and what was formerly known as CDP, but now is Fastback for workstations, and look at them all from one pane of glass. I can, you know, see the client information. I can see, you know, whether it was successful, what the total amount of space is being used, for example. But what I can also do, and this is one thing that a lot of customers have been asking for, is to be able to administer them from one place and, say, push a configuration out to a certain amount of clients. That is very possible with this. So you can push out a configuration, lock it, and then, of course, only the admin can change the configuration on all the clients. And now they don't have to go out to each individual client to do this. They can do it from the console. So that was a huge step forward in the central administration of the CDP product, or Fastback for Workstations. It's going to take me a while to get used to not calling it Fastback for Workstations. Moving on, the next big piece that the TSM 6.2 brought is client-side deduplication. And basically it is deduplicating data on the actual TSM clients. Today, with the version we use today, we do deduplication as a post-process after ingestion, which means we do it on the server, the TSM server side. So what's the difference between the two? Now what we do with TSM 6.2 is allow you to configure it so that the deduplication happens prior to ingestion or prior to coming across the network. Why would you want to do that? Well, of course, it saves bandwidth. So if you have a low amount of bandwidth, this may be something you want to consider doing. It does conserve bandwidth. Now, as far as how much does it save, space-wise, it's the same savings and the same algorithms that we use on the server side. So the totals are usually what we like to quote is around 40%. So we'll use about 40% less. Now, this is for file data only. It does reduce the network traffic, of course, and reduce the storage pool side. But what it really actually does in the long run is make your backups happen faster. It's because it's also doing recovery a lot faster because, again, you're going to have that data all in one central storage pool. Now, mind you that this is, of course, only on disk storage, so it's just the same as the server-side deduplication that's today. Going on to the next slide, in version 6.1, and we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, this is how we do deduplication today. Now, most of you, if you're not in screen show mode, the animation here won't work, but if you're in animation mode, you'll notice that step one is where all the clients send their data to TSM. You have three copies of files. At post-processing or post-going across the network, It will then go through and run an algorithm to basically identify the duplicates, and we use this very technical term called chunks. And we go through, hash through it, and find anything that is duplicate data. At that point, we then only have one pointer to each piece of duplicate data, removing all the extra data, saving you a tremendous amount of space. Then, of course, if you go to disk, if you go from disk to tape, once you go back onto tape, we have to reduplicate or non-duplicate the data to get the three copies of the file out there at all times, mainly because we can't deduplicate on tape due to collocation and reclamation and a couple other things. But it would really, really slow down the recovery if we deduplicated on tape. So that's not something that we do. And by the way, it's not something that we will do. The only way to do deduplication on tape is inside of a VTL, and then it's not really tape. It just looks like tape. So, again, we, on the client side, which is on, going to the next slide, on slide 9, what we do is we go from each client and look at all the different files, chunk the files up into logical pieces. The client goes to the server to identify which quote-unquote chunks need to be sent, then the client will send those chunks over to the actual server. So what's happening is the load is being taken off of the TSM server and put onto the TSM client. Now, in most cases, you now have the flexibility to do either server-side or client-side. Now, remember, we're talking about mostly flat file data here. So the clients that would be a target for client-side deduplication are not your large database servers. They're more like file servers or print servers or repositories for flat file data. So in this case, what you would want to recommend to your customer is to find out whether or not they want the load to be on the TSM server or the load to be on the server that the data is coming from. So it now provides you the ability to place that load wherever the client or the wherever the customer wants it to be, whether it's on the TSM server or the TSM client. As we go forward to slide 10, you'll notice that we now do client deployment for clients, for backup and recovery clients. What this allows you to do is take the TSM admin window, log in, and basically push maintenance releases or clients out from a central location. I actually have a good screenshot of it, I believe, in the next slide. However, what it allows you to do really is to go out. It will actually list all of your clients, the release of each client, when it should be updated or when it can be updated, and then, of course, when was the last time you tried to update it, because sometimes the updates won't work for whatever reason, like the network went down or something. So basically it allows you to basically schedule all of your client upgrades so that you can go from, say, 6.1 to 6.2, and you can just point it to the clients that you want to update, and it'll go from there. It will allow you to distribute any TSM client package starting from version 5.4 and higher. So if you have 5.4, 5.5, 6, 6.1, or 6.2, it will show you the release, and it will show you the major, the minor, the PTF, and the fixed pack level, so all four digits, so you know exactly which version of the client you're running on each individual machine. So this just allows, again, the administrator to log into the GUI and have that central command point from where to go out from. In slide 11, it just gives you an example. It's a little wizard that it lets you identify where the packages are stored. So if you have multiple different TSM clients that you push out, you'll say, it's on this server, it's in these directories. Once you do that, it will identify the storage media in which to store those packages, and then, of course, how long to retain those deployment packages. From there, it allows you to go out, click on clients, and start actually viewing statuses of deployments and actually going ahead and deploying them immediately if that's what you want to do. So again, it just allows you to do this from a very easy GUI instead of having to log into each individual one or use software distribution to do it. So now what you have is the ability to do kind of a push here for your clients. Very, very good thing to do here. Simultaneous writes during storage pool migration. We've been working this way for quite a while, and this is on slide 13. Basically, it combines the windows for migrations, storage pool copies, and storage pools backups. So now when the data comes into say, your primary storage pool, you can now migrate it to a secondary storage pool and copy it to an offsite storage pool at the same time. So basically reduces the total amount of time needed for, I guess the term that we like to use now is housekeeping. Your copying and migration of data inside of the storage hierarchy can now be done multi-threaded, multi-processes at the same time. It just basically allows the resources to be freed up quicker for other operations. And in prior versions, these would all have to, you know, happen one right after the other. So now we can stack them on top of each other. It takes a shorter period of time. And it can actually reduce the backup window, because if your data is being migrated into many different places at the same time, then we don't have to wait for the data to be copied out. So I can free up that that primary disk pool a lot quicker, because I don't have to copy to one place, then migrate it to another place. I can do both at the same time. So it does allow those housekeeping processes to happen in a much more efficient manner than they do today. Okay, so moving to slide 14, VMware backup host enhancements. Couple things we've done here with VMware, and as you guys know, we've been working with VMware for quite a while. The first thing you need to know is, we can still use the VCB or the VMware Consolidated Backup API, which is what we've been using for a while, to offload the VMware servers. We offload it to a proxy server and then back it up from there. We can still do that today, but now we can actually use the vStorage API, which allows us some more flexibility. Now, the vStorage API is new. They're still doing a lot of work on it to provide more functionality. We actually support that today, so now we can do SAN-based backups and some of the other things via their new API, which customers are starting to ask about. I'm starting to get more and more questions from customers online who are looking to do VMware backups using this new API. We do completely support it. The other thing this allows us to do is do auto-discovery of VMware images that are out there. A lot of customers have what they call transient VMware VMware images or VMware machines that they will, if they have a project, it comes in, it does work for this project, and when the project is over, they decommission that VMware image. What this allows us to do is do this discovery or auto-discovery of these transient machines, automatically start backing them up, and then, of course, if they disappear and the retain time is 60 days, 60 days later that data will be removed from the TSM server. But what it allows you to do is not have to go out and add each individual VMware server. VMware is one of those operating systems that can be extremely transient in, say, development areas or testing environments. So this is something that a lot of customers have been asking for quite some time. There's a lot of things that we've done on Hyper-V, too. Hyper-V has been around for quite a while. We're on slide 15, by the way. Hyper-V allows us to... Excuse you. Hyper-V actually allows you to... we've added support for the virtual snapshot, so now you can go into Hyper-V and do content-aware, full-volume snapshots of any of the applications that are out there today. So Exchange, SQL, even the Active Directory. So now we can go out there, synchronize the snapshots with the actual applications and file systems, and basically do content-aware snapshots with Hyper-V. Now, this does provide a lot of customers with support that they did not have before, and this is something that most of the other competitors in the market don't have today. Slide 16, in-flight SSL. Basically, we have taken our 256-bit encryption for data that is in transit and extended the platforms to Linux, Solaris, HPUX, and, of course, it was available prior on Windows and AIX. So we've added a few platforms to this. But basically, this allows you to do encryption of data before it goes across the network. Basically in-flight data, or data that's in transit. It is compatible with the TSM server or client-side deduplication. So if you use TSM encryption, it does not screw up the server or client-side deduplication, which, by the way, is a huge competitive advantage over others because the other products use a separate subroutine to do encryption, so they can't encrypt and do data deduplication at the same time. So this is something that allows us to do both encryption and deduplication at the same time, which is a huge competitive advantage. Going on to slide 17, some other things that we've done here. We've increased the efficiency of backups on SAP by basically allowing you to break up large SAP databases into smaller objects. And this is actually something that Bacinet allows us to do now. We've written in some code that allows us to take advantage of the new Bacinet routines. Basically allows you to go out there and do backups of these databases quicker, mainly because you're breaking them into smaller parts. And allows you to do multi-threading a lot better as well, so you can write to, say, 10 tapes at the same time if you have that many tapes. But it also allows you to, as far as the server is concerned, you can go through and interrupt the backups and restart it where you can restart it where it left off instead of having to go back and start all over again. Because you're breaking the SAP database into multiple parts now, I can go through and treat each individual part as a separate part, even though when I do a recovery, I will basically treat it as a whole, and I can do a recovery of the whole environment or one of the pieces if I choose to. Progressive incremental backup of the Windows System Writer. The Windows System Writer is basically the system state data. They seem to be getting larger and larger and larger. On your average laptop, it's probably 350 megabytes. On your average server, it could be up to a gig or even more. We've seen these getting larger and larger, so what we've done here is allow you to walk through the system state data and do an incremental backup of your system data or system state data. What this basically means is I'm not backing up the entire system state every single time. One of the best practices for TSM is to run a system state backup whenever you run whenever you install new programs. And if you don't install new programs, there's no reason to add new users or change the system in any way. We recommend that you don't back it up because it hasn't changed. But when we did back it up in the past, you would have to do a full backup of the system state. We don't have to do that anymore, so now we can basically schedule it and let it run every day, and then if something changes, it'll back up just those changes. This basically is a performance improvement for Windows 2008, and it seems to speed up the backups tremendously when we're talking about larger system state data machines, such as servers with lots of users and lots of directories. The system state data can get very, very large. Support for SCSI pass-through interface. This basically, This basically allows us to comply with security policies that allow only signed drivers on Windows machines. A lot of customers are using basically unsupported drivers that are not supported by the operating system. This will actually allow us to use a SCSI pass-through driver so that we only need to install the Windows native device once, and then the same driver will work with all the different versions of TSM. Very good thing, because a lot of times there's a lot of manual work here to get these drivers to work correctly. And then, of course, you do not need to manually update the driver for each device through Device Manager, which is something we've had to do in the past. So, again, it's just allowing the Windows machine to be more easily managed when it's a TSM server or when it's using the storage agent. And with that, we should be on the last slide here. It says thank you. We're pretty much done. We'll open it up to questions. So, Catherine, if you'll open it up to open the lines up for questions, that'd be great.
If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please remember to unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then 1. David, your line is open.
That's Dave Larimer.
Dave Hart, sorry.
Okay.
Just wanted to clarify, I did see the announcement of TSM 6.2 on the announcement page today, so I think it's public.
No, it's announced. It's not GA.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, so you can't talk with customers today. That's right. It went out today.
That's my point. Right.
Yeah, okay. He's right. So you can't talk about it with customers. For a while, they got talked about backing it up a few days. So, yes, and the EGA for this is March 19th still. So we should be okay with that as well.
Thank you.
No problem. Sorry about that. Thanks, Dave.
Danny, your line is open. Danny, your line is open. Please check your mute button.
Yeah, this is Danny. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I have a question for you about on the page 11 about the deployment for the client auto deployment.
Okay.
Okay, can we deploy this one from the proxy TSM server, or we have to deploy from the TSM server?
So your question is, can we deploy clients from the proxy server, or does it have to go from the TSM server proper?
That's correct, because I just think that the TSM server will heavy load, and then right now we try to deploy this one so they can put more load in there.
Hmm. Tricia, do you know that one
off
the top of your head?
When you download the patches and all, they're actually put into a storage pool that's most likely on the TSM server, and it's through the actual administrator console and all that you're going to ascertain which clients you want to send these patches out to and when. So it's going to be from the TSM server.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
suggest.
And it has to be a TSM 6.2 server, obviously.
Right.
And they're stored as archive objects when you download them into the TSM storage pools.
Okay. So I would have another question here, that can we deploy from the enterprise TSM server? So in the past, because we have the server-to-server communication, can we across TSM server to deploy the client?
If you had server-to-server connection, no, because the one of the TSM servers just knows about it because it's actually sitting in the TSM server's storage pool, that particular TSM server. So the second TSM server, it's not like it's sharing the library and able to share that object in the archive pool.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
Good question. Anyone else?
Ed, your line is open.
Yes, Jared, this is Ad van Leeuwen from the Netherlands. Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah, it's good afternoon here, but anyway, thank you for your presentation. I have a question on the TSM for ERP and the large SAP databases. What dimension do you give on a large SAP database?
I'm sorry, repeat that last part.
Okay. On slide 17, you are talking about backup of very large SAP databases.
Correct.
What do you name very large?
Oh, okay. Well, really very large. I mean, we've seen customers run multiple terabyte databases. However, what it really boils down to is if they want to chunk any of their SAP databases from 500 gigabytes up, they can do it. It's something that it's something that Backendon allows us to do. So what they may want to do is one evening split it into the smaller pieces and see how if it benefits them at all to do that. Because in some cases with the smaller databases, if their environment is extremely fast, it's not going to help them a whole lot.
Okay.
There is no magic line in the sand, but a good place to start is about 500 gigabytes.
Right, and just to clarify, this is only on DB2 databases. It does not apply to the Oracle databases.
So SAP DB2.
That's correct.
Okay. And which TSM server version do I require for this?
The SAP server version or?
No, the TSM server.
The TSM server must be 6.2.
Also, not only the ERP client, but also the TSM server itself must be on 6.2.
I believe so. Tricia, I'm going to check on that unless you know off the top of your head.
I believe so, but I'm not 100% positive either. It has to do with the segment size that's in the TSM for ERP profile, and so I'm not sure where the resources, if that changes on the TSM server also. We can check on that.
I will double check on that and... will you do me a favor and send me an email so I have your email address? I'm Potts.
Anytime.
I'm Potts J, P-O-T-T-S-J.
Yes, I recall.
Okay.
No problem.
And I'll double check.
Okay,
on,
see you later.
Question. I'll double check on it. Any other questions?
Bill, your line is open.
Yes, Bill Stedman. I didn't see it covered here, and I haven't seen it anywhere else, but when is Exchange 2010 going to be supported?
Exchange 2010 will be coming out in late second quarter.
Late second quarter.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tricia.
Alan, your line is open.
On slide 17, bullet 2, the system state backups, does anybody know if the enhancement listed here is functionally equivalent to what was released a couple days ago in patches 6.1.3.1 and 5.5.2.10?
I don't know off the top of my head now. I'll have to check that out, Trish.
Yeah, I don't know the patch level on that either.
I do know that we did release that for clients that are not 6.2 in a small patch, but I don't know I would imagine it's the latest and greatest, but I can double check.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'd imagine it's the same, but
you never know.
You never
know. I gave up my email address. Send me an email, and I'll double check it and send you an answer right back.
Great, thanks.
No problem.
And at this time, there are no questions.
Okay. Well, guys, it was great to talk to you. Hopefully, I'll see some of you at the Prepulse events. For those of you who are not inside the United States, please note that there will be some storage roadshows or kind of like a Pulse Comes to You event that will be coming to your neck of the woods over the next 6 to 9 weeks. Look on the calendar for those, and you'll see invites to those if in your particular country. Just did Spain last week, so if you have any if you have any questions, send me an email, and hopefully we'll get you the answer quickly.
Right, and if you do have customers coming to Pulse, we do have multiple labs being offered on TSM62, so you can send them down to the lab room, and they can run through those.
And with that, we're done. Thank you very much.